It's time for Let's Talk with Brian Pettaway.
Good morning, happy Sunday, and welcome to Let's Talk. I am your host, Brian Pettaway. Thank you so much for being here with me this morning. I hope that your week was as amazing as mine. I had a great week. The weather was fantastic. I was able to get out and enjoy some of this fall weather, watch the leaves change, see them on the ground, and just marvel at what nature does every year. I think it's amazing, and I think we take it for granted what nature actually does. I was thinking about this today and the freedom that I had to walk around and do whatever I wanted to do, even just things in the house without harassment, without having to worry about people busting into my home and shooting at me or bombs being dropped in my neighborhood, leveling homes. And, you know, I thought about how fortunate I am because I know that at this very moment on the other side of this beautiful planet, that's exactly what's going on. There are people right now, and I'm talking about in Gaza, innocent men, women, and children who have no food, no water, no shelter, fearful every second of every day of their existence that this is going to be the last second that they're alive. I can't even fathom that. And it's not because of a volcano or a hurricane or a tornado or a drought or anything that nature imposes on us. It's because one man has decided to kill another man based on what they want. And here's the kicker. What they want, what they feel that they're entitled to, they feel God has given them. When I think about the babies that were decapitated in Israel, when I think about the innocent men, women, and children that were huddled into small places by the groups and just gunned down as if they weren't even human beings by another human being, I think how ironic that according to the Bible, all of this violence and all of this hate is being done in the holiest of holy places. And to top it off, both of these groups that are doing this to each other and have been doing this to each other for decades will tell you one side is doing it to protect the land that they're on that they believe God has given them. The other is to claim the land that they feel that God has given them. But both sides will invoke God in the conversation because they believe that God has entitled them to the land that they have and that is their land. They will literally pray to God before they kill you. Who are you praying to? You think God recognizes that prayer, acknowledges that prayer? No, it's a huge disappointment. Here's the thing that I don't understand. America supports, as I said last week, supports the bully of the two, the most powerful of the two. So we give money to the most powerful to do more damage and to kill more innocent people. That's what we do. We give them ammunition, we give them know-how, and we give them money. And then our mantra is, God bless America. Why? Why would God bless America when we do things like that over and over and over again? I get so tired of hearing about how we love God, how God loves us, how God is this. Listen, I am not a Bible thumper. I can't quote you every scripture. That is not who I am. That's not what I do. I don't sit in anyone's church on Sundays. That is not what I do anymore. I don't do it. But I will tell you this. I believe in God, and I believe that God's only wish is for us to treat each other with love, care, and respect. If we are His greatest creation, the way that we honor Him the most is by treating each other as if we are His greatest creation. All the symbolisms of the cross and the mantras and the gospel songs and all, okay, do that if you need to. All these huge mega churches, you need to go and giving your 10%, fine, whatever it is. But if you walk out of that church after spending an hour and an hour and a half in there doing all of these things that you think God cares about and is going to get you closer to God or have your prayers answered, and then step out of that church and step right over a man less fortunate than you and you look down your nose at him or ignore him, you fail. You fail. You may as well not even have gone into that church to begin with because you failed. Because that is what God really cares about. How are you going to treat the least of us? And I keep hearing this phrase from both sides. And I'm talking about Jews and Muslims in this situation. And I've even heard this term used by our president, by Biden, when he talked about the chosen people of Israel. Who chose them? And to do what? Because Muslims believe that they are the chosen people. And Christians believe that they are the chosen people. And none of us have the answers. There are a million theories as to how we got here. And there are a million theories as to what happens to us when we leave here. But no one really knows because we're not supposed to. God has done a marvelous job at getting us here. And He's promised to do an amazing job when we leave here. Our only job is to honor Him when we are here. And that job is only, and it's very simple, is to take care and love his greatest creation. And that is each other. So when I'm watching CNN or MSNBC or Fox News, or I'm reading the Washington Post or the Baltimore Sun, and I read or I hear about the bombings and the starving of and the raping and the cutting off of heads, and then in that same text or in the same conversation that I hear, I see God's name invoked in the conversation, it irks me, because God's name should be nowhere near any of that. I've gone to funerals right here in this city of young men, not more than 16 years old, that were shot in the head and killed. And I hear the pastor say, well, we don't know God's plan. I know that wasn't God's plan. Let's stop doing that. That is not God's plan. We did that. That was somebody's plan to rob him or to shoot him or what. That wasn't God's plan. Stop doing that. Stop invoking God's name and the bullshit that we do and using God as an excuse to do it. It is the worst thing that we can do. To me, it is the equivalent of pouring salt into the wounds of Jesus Christ as he hung on the cross dying for our sins. We have to stop doing it. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in Gaza and with Israel. I can surmise that it's going to be very bad for the Palestinian people, and it's going to take generations for them to overcome if they even exist after this. All I can do is hope and pray that this comes to an absolute end and that after all of this time, there is actual peace in the Middle East. Remember that mantra? Peace in the Middle East. I just want peace in it. I really do want that. I really do hope and pray for that, because none of this is beneficial to anyone. It's really, really not. All right, look, let me jump off of this because I've been on it too long and I'm so hype about it I could go on for another hour. That is not what you tuned in for. I actually have an amazing show today with an amazing guest. It is still Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I promise you, I can't get off of this thing because I've learned so much in the last 3 weeks doing these shows, and I've learned about how so many women are affected by this disease, and it's something that we have to get a hold of. So the best thing that I can do is bring as much information to you in the way of guests as I possibly can. And I've got a great one here again today. Also, I've got the Petty here. He's going to do the NFL picks. He's going to give us some information about sports as he always does. He's always got my back. I'm always glad that he's here. And quickly, I'm going to talk about a story that has aroused a lot of people's fears about gun control again. So I hope you're feeling great, because now that I've gotten all of that off my chest, I'm feeling a lot better. I've got a lot to talk about today, so let's get right to it. Locally, 31-year-old firefighter Rodney W. Pitts III was laid to rest amid an outpouring of love, support, and recognition on Friday. His services were held at Cathedral of Mary, Our Queen in northern Baltimore. Pitts lost his life on October 9 while fighting a tool arm fire in a row house on Linden Heights Avenue. He was officially pinned as a firefighter just this past August and had only been on the job for a year. Also, Sheila Dixon is back in the news. Most of us remember her as the 48th mayor of the city of Baltimore. And we also remember her for the gift card embezzlement scandal that she was found guilty of that ultimately led to her resigning from her post as mayor. Well, she's back and she's running for mayor one more time. And she says, I suffered, I paid, and I ask that we as a city have a heart and trust and realize that people change and learn from their mistakes. And she says, I've done all of that. Now, she's been involved in the mayoral race before, including the 2020 race when she was narrowly defeated by the current mayor, Brandon Scott. She also lost narrowly in the 2016 primary to Catherine Pugh. Both of those races were decided by less than 2% of the vote. So now, as of Tuesday, Baltimore has officially five candidates who have officially filed with the Maryland State Board of Elections for the Baltimore mayor's race. You have the incumbent, Brandon Scott, who I just don't believe his numbers are going to be good enough to get him reelected. He just has not done a very good job. He has not been the most accountable. And he has been pretty negative in most of his press conferences and have just rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Now, we are down 50 homicides from last year so far. And I think that's great. But I think it's too little, too late. And then we have Sheila Dixon, who was already elected by the people of Baltimore and trusted with the office of mayor, and then got caught stealing from the poor people of Baltimore. I mean, if I got caught stealing from the poor, I don't know how I could show my face in public. But I certainly wouldn't run for public office, for the same public office. That takes a special kind of person. It takes a special kind of person. And I don't know if that special is the kind of special I would want in the person to be my mayor. But here's the crazy part, and it's a very telling thing about the city of Baltimore. Right now, Sheila Dixon is the one that most people, when polled, said that they would vote for. She was at a town hall meeting this past Tuesday, and when I say she showed up and showed out, she sounded amazing. She sounded very confident. She sounded very competent. And had I not known about her embezzlement scandal and conviction, hell, I mean, she'd have been a shoo-in for mayor for me too. No question. But I do know. And so I don't know how that's going to sit with a lot of voters come election day. Also, there's the only registered independent in the bunch, and that's businessman Bob Wallace, who on Wednesday announced his campaign for mayor, saying he will address improving education, reducing crime, and building a more inclusive economy. Now, Bill Wallace is hard when it comes to education, and he talks hard when it comes to crime, juvenile crime in particular. And I know that that's going to go a long way with black and white voters in this city, because young black men have been responsible for a lot of crime these last few years, especially in the summer. So the way he talks about juvenile crime and reconstructing juvenile crime laws and curfews, that's going to pick up a lot of traction. Now, he ran in 2020, didn't get a whole lot of attraction or attention then, but I think that might change this year. We also have Wendy Bozell. She's also registered with the Board of Elections to run for mayor. She is a teacher in Baltimore City. Don't know a whole lot about her. And also small business owner, Wendell Hill Freeman, also registered, who I also don't know a whole lot about. But the mayoral race is heating up, and I'm excited about it. Not excited about all the choices that we have, but I'm excited that we have choices. I earlier mentioned that I was going to report on a story that gave people angst about gun control again, because unfortunately, there was another mass shooting in this country up in Lewiston, Maine on Wednesday, a shooting that took the lives of 18 people and wounded several others. The suspected gunman, 40-year-old Robert Carr, walked into a bowling alley on Wednesday evening in Lewiston, Maine with an AR-15 style rifle and started firing randomly at the people in this bowling alley restaurant combination. Now, the oldest person shot and killed was 76 and the youngest was 14 years old. He was bowling with his father. It is the deadliest mass shooting in the United States this year and the worst since a gunman killed 19 students and two teachers at a school in Uvalde, Texas last year. Overall, already at least 566 mass shootings have happened this year across the country, with four or more shot, excluding the shooter. And this is according to the Gun Violence Archive. What we know about Robert Card, the suspect, is that he is 40 years old and an Army reservist and a weapons instructor. He has always had guns in his home, and police and investigators found a suicide note in his home, but said that it didn't provide any specific motive for the shooting. Relatives of Card told federal investigators that he recently discussed hearing voices and became more focused on the bowling alley and the bar, but nobody knows why. Military officials in his reserve unit became concerned that he was acting erratically in mid-July, and they transported him to the Army Community Hospital at the United States Military Academy for medical evaluation. So Card was actually admitted to a mental institution by his Army Reserve Unit, but no one took his guns. So there's going to be a lot of explaining as to why that is the case. You've already got right-wingers and MAGA lovers going after the FBI, saying it was their job to know that this guy was on a list, and, you know, it's all kinds of stuff. People are going to be blaming everybody else. Who they're not going to blame is the NRA. And they're not going to blame Congress for not passing proper gun laws. So nothing will happen, basically. It'll be finger-pointing, prayers and wishes and well thoughts and all that stuff, but nothing's really going to happen. And finally, and sadly, one of the coolest black men to ever grace the big screen, Richard Roundtree, the original Shaft, has passed away. He was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of pancreatic cancer just 2 months ago, and he's already gone. Rest in peace, Richard Roundtree. Dead at the age of 81. All right, it is time for my Sunday fun facts. Let me get those together for you. Now, I've only got time for three, but we're going to get them in. We're going to have some fun with them. Okay, the very first Sunday fun fact is that there's one letter that does not appear in any American state name. Do you know what it is? It's not the Z, because that's Arizona. There's a Z in Arizona. And it's not an X, because there's an X in Texas. The letter is Q. There is no state in the country that has the letter Q in the spelling of it. Sunday fun fact number two. People are more creative in the shower than anywhere else. When we take a warm shower, we experience an increased dopamine flow, that makes us more creative. So when you start thinking about writing that song or that screenplay or that paper for school or proposal for work, and you got writer's block and you need some ideas, well, jump in the shower, see what happens. And finally, Sunday fun fact number three, and this is near and dear to me because I know a ton of these people. There is actually a word for someone giving an opinion on something that they know nothing about. An ultra-crepidarian is someone who voices thoughts beyond their expertise. I know a ton of ultra-crepidarians. I mean, I really do. It's a great word. Just try your best not to be one. All right, so those are the three Sunday fun facts today. I want to jump right into what we're talking about today. Again, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I have a great guest. Her name is Dr. Shari Lynn Campbell, and she has agreed to talk to us today and tell us her story about her breast cancer journey, and I am so glad that she's willing to talk to me today. So 1500 family, please welcome Dr. Shari Lynn Campbell. All right, good morning, Dr. Campbell. How are you today?
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. I am well. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's really an honor to have you here.
Thank you. My pleasure.
So, you know I have you here. We're talking about breast cancer. This is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I know you've gone through that journey and that struggle. But before I even start that, I got a question for you. Now, you have a doctorate in, is it podiatric or podiatric? I've heard it pronounced both ways, which is proper.
Podiatry or podiatric medicine.
Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. What got you into that? I've always been curious about why people get into certain medicines. What got you into that?
Well, I was sort of athletic, or at least I thought I was, in my teens, and I had a lot of injuries. I was doing sports and taking ballet, and I had to go to a podiatrist to help me. And so I got interested in what he was doing and decided to pursue that.
And it's led you to where you are now, right?
Yes.
Awesome. So I had a couple of guests on last week, and one of them was Dr. Yolanda Lawson. You may know she's the president of the National Medical Association. And she was talking to me about the numbers. And I'd read about the numbers of women who are diagnosed with breast cancer and men each year. And it's somewhere about 298,000 women and 2,800 men. That's projected this year in 2023. And I just thought the numbers were horrible. The numbers are actually horrible.
Yeah, they are.
What happened with you? When did you discover that you actually had breast cancer? What was that story?
So before I say that, I also just want to say the numbers are worse for women of color.
Correct.
And so I am one of those people who, you know, I'm the girlfriend who always bothers people and say, did you get your mammogram? Did you get your mammogram? So I go all the time. So I had my regular mammogram that year, and was going along, thought everything was fine. My results came back, you know, normal. And about November of 2015, I was buying lingerie. I was trying on a underwire bra, and I felt like something just wasn't right. So later that evening, I was in the shower and noticed a lump under my breast. And I said, hey, this wasn't here before.
Right.
And I need to get it checked out. So, you know, as God would have it, I was going on that Monday to have my well woman visit. So I went and I told my provider, hey, this is new. I hadn't felt this before. And she felt it. And then she has some students come in to feel it. I said, okay, something is going on here. She said, well, you know, I don't want to alarm you, but I'm going to send you back upstairs to the breast care center.
Okay.
Because I think you need to have this looked at. So I did. I went right upstairs. And at first they gave me some hassle a little bit because they said, oh, you were just here. And I said, look, something is not right.
Right.
And they're sending me up here, and somebody is going to see me today. So that is number one. Please tell women, be your own advocate. If something is not right, please keep pushing.
Right.
So they got me in. I had a mammogram. As soon as it was done, they told me to wait. I said, normally they don't tell you to wait. So they said, we're going to schedule you for a biopsy because this is not looking like your last mammogram. This is something different here.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, well, while you're here, you might as well see the breast surgeon.
Wow.
So
okay.
My antennas are all going up.
Absolutely.
I saw the breast surgeon. And as soon as he walked in, so all of this was connected, which is a wonderful thing, where I was treated all these places. I didn't have to go to different buildings. I just really had to go on the same floor,
right.
Different place. So
no, that's awesome, because that makes all the difference in the world. That takes a lot of stress out of it right there.
Right. And so the breast surgeon told me, well, he came in, and first he was all these pleasantries. And I said, look, something is going on because there is no way that I just came up here, got a mammogram, and scheduled for a biopsy, and I'm seeing you.
Right.
He was like, oh, okay, I see. You want it straight. I said, yes.
Okay.
So he said, do you mind if I hold your hand? I was like, oh, my God.
Right.
So then he said, look, I can't confirm this before you get your biopsy results back. He said, but if your biopsy results come back anything other than positive for breast cancer, I'm going to say that you need another biopsy.
Wow. Wow.
And so my mouth fell open.
I would think
so. I started to cry.
Right.
And so I lost it. I was like, this cannot be happening to me.
Right.
I keep up with everything. And he said, you know what? It happens to people unexpectedly, but we're going to take care of it. So he was very, very nice. I loved my breast surgeon. I actually loved my entire team. They worked together well, which was another blessing for me.
Right. Where was this? What happened?
I got treated at Walter Reed.
Oh, okay.
Because I am in the public health service, so I'm active duty, and so I get all of my care there.
Understood. I used to when I was in the Army.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, I left there, got my appointment for the biopsy, which was going to be the following day, which is another thing that got me so nervous. And then I just went to my car and I just cried. I just sat in the car and cried. Then I called my husband, and of course he was hysterical because he had asked me that morning, oh, do you want me to go with you to this appointment? And I said, no, I can handle this. I got it.
Right.
And, I got home and just collapsed, really, because I could not believe it.
Now, had you had anyone else in your family diagnosed with breast cancer before? Or did you have any close friends that you knew had gone through anything like this before?
Well, I have friends, yes, but no one in my family, immediate family that I knew of, until I started asking questions.
Okay.
And this is another thing, because a lot of times we don't like to share. And
right.
We really need to share.
Right.
I found out as I started questioning that I did have two aunts who had breast cancer back in the 50s. And, you know, that was just a death sentence, basically, for
right.
them. They didn't tell anyone, really. And so that was just a hidden secret that would have been very beneficial for me to know.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you find out?
I called my mother, called my aunt, my really favorite aunt. And they just, started telling me, oh my. So, of course, they were very, over the top hysterical, which I can understand. But I finally got information, which was a wonderful thing.
So now you've gotten the news, you've told your husband the news, and obviously you're upset and you're hoping for the best, but know that the worst could happen. So where are you in your mind, and what's the next move after that?
My mind was just all over the place. I was thinking negatively one minute, positively the next minute. It just, I can't even explain just the chaos that my mind was going through. And then I started looking on the internet. So I'm going to tell people right now, do not look on the internet, because all the information you see is not necessarily specific to your type of breast cancer, and it will scare you. It will absolutely scare you and make you unnecessarily upset. So please don't do that. Please listen to your medical team.
Now, as a doctor yourself, didn't you realize, like, I should not be going to the internet for medical information?
But I'm also human, and I'm also this was, I mean, it was so totally unexpected, out of the blue. And I was like, oh, I can find something, and I can tell the difference between this type of information and the other. And no, I could not. So I should have not done that.
All right. So then what's next? What's the next procedure that you have to go through? What do they tell you to do, and what's your next visit like?
The next thing was a biopsy. I had the biopsy, and this was another blessing that happened to me. When I did the biopsy, the woman who was doing it, she said, oh, I'm noticing like a little elevated area or something that doesn't look right under your arm. So she said, I'm going to go ahead and biopsy that as well. So I'm so happy she did that, because it turned out that my breast cancer was so aggressive that it really basically it formed from July when I had my mammogram to like November. It was just fast growing,
Good
and
grief.
I had the lump that I felt, which felt sort of like a pea size thing, and then it was already in my lymph nodes. So that is what she found when she did that biopsy. So I knew going in, when I met with my whole medical team, that this was not good. It was not good.
Is there any pain associated with any of this? Like, are you feeling any pain at all in your breast or in your arm or in anything?
No, and that was the thing that really petrified me, because I had no pain. The only thing was just it felt uncomfortable when I was trying on that bra, and I was like, oh, this doesn't, but it was no pain, none at all.
And previous to you finding the lump yourself, how long had it been since you had a mammogram?
Oh, let's see, from July to November. So it was not that long. And they even went back and looked at my prior, mammogram. They said, we need to just make sure we didn't miss something here. And it wasn't. They didn't miss anything.
So it could happen that fast. So women should really, they should really be, I guess, feeling for them or self-examining themselves all the time. I guess what? All the time.
Well, this is where it gets a little controversial. So the recommendations now are not to do monthly self-exams. But for me, I found that's how I found mine. And so I do it every month. But that is not the guidelines right now,
Why?
because because the percentage of finding a lump during the self-exam is not statistically significant to require women to do it. So if you're looking just at numbers, then you would say, oh, well, we don't want to have women to do this because it's not going to really be beneficial, except if you're that one, like me.
Yeah, I better safe than sorry for me. I mean, what's it going to hurt? Well, you know what I mean?
Well, that's what I say. So right. That's what I do. But I always tell people these are not the current guidelines.
So. Understood. So you get your biopsy. It comes back, unfortunately, positive for breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And then what do you have to do?
So I had a whole day of meeting with the breast surgeon, the medical oncologist, radiation oncologist. I had a nurse navigator, and I understand that this is a, you know, extreme blessing. And a lot of women don't have this. They don't have their whole team meeting together at once. But I was able to have that because I was getting treated at Walter Reed. My diagnosis was triple negative breast cancer, which is one of those breast cancers that is prevalent among women of color. It is aggressive. And I unfortunately was at stage three. Okay. And that floored me.
What does that mean? Like, what are the stages, or what does that mean?
So you start at zero, then you go up to four. When okay. you get to stage four, it's considered metastatic.
Okay.
So I was even more beside myself.
Understood.
But, you know, this time I took my husband with me for the whole day.
Right.
And he was actually writing everything down. And that is another tip I would say. Women, please take someone with you to write down everything, because you are not going to retain yeah. all the information.
Yeah, your mind is swimming at this point.
Yes, you're not going to retain it. And if you have questions, write them down as soon as you have them and take them with you, because you're not going to remember it in the moment.
Okay.
So my treatment plan was surgery first, which sometimes people now, they want to do your chemotherapy first, mm-hmm. but mine was different. So I had surgery first, then I had chemotherapy, and then I had radiation therapy.
The chemo, how did that affect you?
Ooh,
or did
okay.
it?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
That was hard. I felt good on some days, and then I felt absolutely horrible on others. I lost all my hair, which was, that was a troubling thing for me when they first told me I was going to lose my hair, because I had, at the time, I had locks, and okay. they were shoulder length, and I loved them so much, and I was so proud. And, you know, I just felt like I had no control over any of this. So I decided, like at my second round of chemotherapy, when I could tell my hair was starting to come out, I just went and cut it, had my whole head shaved. I couldn't deal with watching it fall out. So that's what I did. I mean, there are things now where people have these things called cold caps that you can wear during chemotherapy, and it's supposed to not make your hair fall out as much, but
I've never heard of
that. I just chose to let it go.
When you had your hair shaved, your head shaved, was that a feeling of liberation? Was it a feeling of depression? Like, what did you feel behind that?
I cried.
You cried.
I was depressed in the beginning because I looked at myself in the mirror and I just said, who is this person? I don't know who this is. My life was changing. Nothing was in my control. Nothing. So after I thought about it, I said, you know, at least I lost my hair on my own terms.
Right.
Right.
So I, you know, afterwards, like, I guess maybe the second week when my hair was all gone, I would just put on big earrings and lipstick and go on. And go on out in the public, you know, of course, with my mask and everything. But, yeah, I would do that.
How did your husband take it? What was his emotional state through this process?
He was, well, of course, he didn't show me that he was scared. He was very petrified. He talked to the husband of one of my sorority sisters who also had breast cancer, and he helped him through. Actually, my nurse navigator found some resources for him.
Okay.
For, you know, when your spouse has breast cancer. And so it helped him. And the thing I think that really helped him is that he needed something to do. So what he did was organize meals, because people want to do things for you.
Right.
And so he organized this whole thing when people would drop meals off this way, that way. So I think it kind of gave him something to do, you know, in between going with me to my treatments.
Did you take a leave of absence from practicing medicine yourself, or did you continue to work through it?
I took a leave of absence because there were days with chemotherapy I just couldn't make it. But I do, you know, and I was fortunate in that way as well, because there are a lot of people who have to keep working through all of this.
Right.
And, you know, it is, I just think it's shameful that there's not more flexibility given to some women in the workplace.
When you went through chemo, right, how long did that last? How long did you have to go through it?
My chemo was 9 months.
Woo, good grief. That's a long time.
Yeah, long time. Yeah, so I had two different kinds of chemotherapy. And, you know, sometimes when you're going through chemotherapy, you can't do your next cycle if your blood work is off. So, you know, sometimes you have to take a break in between if something is not right, or they change your schedule, you know, to spread it out a little more if the dose that they're giving you is too strong. So it's complicated. And so mine ended up being 9 months, but I know people who have done chemo longer than that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Does it ever get any better? I mean, do you suffer the same symptoms throughout, or do you body build up a tolerance, or does it get weaker?
Well, I didn't do as bad on my first chemotherapy drug. The second chemotherapy drug just knocked me out.
Okay.
that one was rough, and I still have side effects from that one. But I have to say that is the drug that got rid of my cancer. So I will live with my side effects.
Okay.
Because I'm here. Because
you're living, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you have to have a mastectomy? Was it breast reconstruction? Did any of that, or it just knocked out the cancer?
I had a lumpectomy and what they call axillary node dissection. So because they already knew that the cancer was in my lymph nodes, my surgeon just said, look, I'm old school, and I'm just going to go in here, and I'm taking out the one we know, but if the other ones around it don't look good, I'm taking them out too. I said, okay. So he did, and he took out, oh my gosh, I think I had about 25 lymph nodes removed.
Good grief.
And all of them except one had cancer. So he knew what he was doing, and I said, thank you, Lord, that you were old school.
Wow.
So because of that, I have lymphedema in that arm, but, you know, it's okay.
And so what are the symptoms of lymphedema? Like, what is it that you can, cannot do? What does that mean?
So my arm swells up. It can't drain the fluid. So the lymph system drains the fluid.
Okay.
From your body, from your arm. And so because I had so many removed,
Right.
It doesn't work efficiently in that arm. Mm-hmm. And so when I have, you know, go on the plane rides or whatever with changes of pressure, I have to wear a sleeve on my arm.
Okay.
And so I do that. I can't have any blood drawn from that arm. I can't have blood pressure taken from that arm. So, but you know, I live and I manage.
Do you, now once these lymph nodes were removed, does that make you less susceptible to breast cancer in the future? Or is it just the same? Like you still have the same, I guess you're still as susceptible to it as anybody else, or?
Well, you know, once they, I was told that once I hit the 5-year mark, 5 years past treatment, that my likelihood to have a recurrence reduces. And so that is true. However, you're always susceptible. I'm just always vigilant because, you know, I have known some breast cancer survivors who were clear for like 10 years and then boom, they get a recurrence. So I just think you have to always be vigilant, especially if you're, once you're diagnosed with breast cancer.
When you were talking to your doctors initially about the kind of breast cancer that you had and how aggressive it was, and they said to you that, like you said to us, it's more prevalent in Black women. Was there any explanation as to why that's the case?
There's really no good answer. there just isn't. There's research going on now to kind of look into that, but it's just based on statistics right now that is one of the breast cancers that affects women of color.
Wow. So how are you feeling today? Like, how do you feel now? You feeling good?
Oh, I'm good. Every day I wake up and open my eyes, I am good. I can say this one thing that breast cancer has done for me, it has given me a different perspective on life. And the things that used to bother me, they no longer bother me.
Really?
Because if I can get through all of that, these small little, you know, worries, it just doesn't matter, you know.
Right. What was the time frame from the time that you discovered it or it was discovered that you had breast cancer to the time that you were cancer free?
Ooh. Let's see. Once I did finish my radiation therapy and I went back, so I would say about a year and a half.
Okay. A year and a half journey. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long fight.
Yeah.
That's a long fight.
It really is.
I'm going to plug your sorority, AKA. I know you're AKA.
All right now.
And I'm plugging them because I know they're involved with the Breast Cancer Society. And I'm trying to figure out how that is. Do they do money drives for them? How does that work?
Well, we had a mobile unit that would go around to different areas around the country, actually doing mammograms in partnership with different organizations for women. And we always have events to give women different information about breast cancer during Breast Cancer Awareness Month. You know, and because some of our chapters have been affected, and my chapter in particular has, we have about 12 breast cancer survivors.
Right.
And so we always do the Relay for Life walk. We raise money. We work hand in hand with the American Cancer Society and doing lots of events in communities all across the country.
That is awesome. That is definitely awesome. How often do you guys get involved that way? Or is it all year long? Is it year long, or is it a particular time of the year that you guys do the mammogram screening for people?
Well, the screenings were happening year round, depending on where the van actually was at the time. So, yes, that is a an initiative that all chapters are working on. to different levels, but we work on those with women's health. So that's our big umbrella.
Yeah. When I had Dr. Lawson on last week, we had talked about medical deserts and how difficult it is for some black women to get to mammogram screenings or who are unaware. So the fact that the AKA sorority is doing that is a wonderful thing. I mean, it's an amazing thing, definitely saving lives.
So. Yeah, and they're also, you know, in each community, it depends on, you know, your medical facility, but there are some hospitals that have their own mammogram vans now, and they will be scheduling events, like when they have large health fairs and of that sort, to at least let women know, hey, you can get your mammogram here. So awesome. A lot of that is going on. It's helping, but you know, there's always more to do.
Yeah, well, Shari, I'm glad that you're feeling better and that you are good, and thanks for coming on today and talking to me. Now you're officially a member of the 1500 family and Let's Talk. And because of that, I might be calling you again.
Okay.
I always tell my guests, hey, listen, I might be calling you again. We might need your help again on this topic. So don't be surprised if the phone rings and it's me.
Oh, that is just fine. It is my pleasure. I've had a wonderful time talking with you today.
All right, Dr. Campbell, real quick, plug yourself. If my dogs are barking and I need some footwork, how can we reach you?
Well, actually, I am not in private practice anymore.
What? Oh my goodness. Okay. Okay.
No, but you know, hey, I know people, so let me know and I can try to hook you up.
You know people. Okay, no worries. I'll definitely do that. All right. Thank you so much for your time today.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Okay. Bye bye.
All right. Well, I know you hear the music. That means it's time for only one thing on this show, and that is the Petty. Let's give the Petty a call and see what he's talking about this week.
Good morning, Brother B. How are you?
I'm good, Petty. What's going on with you, brother?
Man, look, there's been a whole lot of stuff going on. And first of all, let me say, no, this is about your show.
Okay.
I'm gonna give you your props because you've been doing some great things on your show on domestic violence and breast cancer awareness. And I just want to congratulate you on bringing it to the forefront.
I appreciate
it. It's just been wonderful.
I appreciate it.
It's opened up a lot of eyes. I've been talking to a lot of people who have listened to your show, who I put down, you know, to tell them to check out your show. They've been saying some nice things, and they've heard some very things that have been close to them pertaining to breast cancer awareness and domestic violence. So I want to say, you know, congratulations on doing that for this month, for October, and keep on doing what you're doing, brother.
I appreciate you, man, for saying that. You know, it's funny because as men, we don't pay a whole lot of attention to breast cancer. We just don't. I mean, I didn't, but yeah, now that you mentioned it, a lot of people have DM'd me, people close to me. It's crazy how it's affected so many women.
So I just want to give you a props for, you know, bring that to the forefront for this month.
Appreciate you.
So let's get on to the sports thing.
Yes, let's.
First of all, let's talk about a little bit about baseball.
Okay.
You know what? I am shocked and amazed, and I am quite surprised that probably the two teams that I expected to be in the World Series are not there. We're talking about the Phillies and the Astros, who had a game 6 and a 7 at home. All you had to do was win one game.
That's it.
And you'd be in the World Series. And both of those teams dropped the ball, put up some goose eggs. I don't know what the hell's going on. They were in their home stadiums, and they both lost game 6 and 7. And I'm just like, wow, Phillies, Astros, choke artists to the max. So,
well, they're saying that Bryce Harper has the curse of the Nationals, and they're saying that the Houston Astros have the curse of the cheater. So I don't know.
Hey, well, you know what? You may have a point there, Brother B. I didn't hear that one. I guess my ear wasn't too far to the ground on that one because I missed that one right there. But you know what? There's a lot of something going on with that. So the World Series will feature a Wild West shootout between the Arizona D-backs, Diamondbacks, and those Texas Rangers.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something, Brother B. There's a, you know what? You look at those two teams. They're a young, feisty team. Both of them have good pitching, and I, you know, this might be a very good World Series. The Diamondbacks have a series under their belts, but Texas will be looking for their first World Series win ever, and I'm going to put my money on those Rangers.
Okay. All right. Okay.
As you all know, you know, you and everyone else who are big NBA fans, the season has officially started. It's kind of a little too early for me to give my opinion on anything about the NBA. I watched a couple of games Wednesday and Thursday night. And, you know, I saw some things with Denver, and I saw some things with Boston. The other teams, I mean, they are what they are.
I can't watch it.
It's a little too early to kind of tell the NBA.
I can't watch the NBA, man. I just can't do it anymore. I
well,
don't know.
You know, we work in a time when the NBA, those were guys that, I mean, man, they played. You know, but the NBA is a little softer to me. I have a hard time watching it. I really don't get into watching the NBA until playoff time. So
right.
I'm really not going to speak too much on that.
Okay, okay.
Moving right along, I'm trying to hit all the bases here. Ha, play on World's bases, World Series, baseball. Anywho, you know what? Let's talk about a little bit about the NHL. And maybe somebody sees something, because those Golden Knights have been perfect so far this year. They are the only team in the NHL that have won every game, and they do not have a tie or a loss. So something's brewing out there in Vegas. I don't know what it is. Maybe they need to talk to those Raiders, because they look like some trash. We'll talk about the Raiders in football a little later.
Okay, okay.
And here's something a little surprising to me. I didn't really pick up on it when it first happened, but you know what? The cable channels, we're talking about HBO and Showtime, HBO dropped boxing several months ago, actually several years ago.
Right.
And now Showtime will no longer carry championship boxing after the 2023 season.
Who's going to carry it then?
Probably Danzin, D-A-Z-N. You know, Danzin, however you pronounce it. I think they'll be the ones carrying it, because Showtime says they're done.
That is,
and maybe it's because, you know, the talent. I don't know. Boxing is not what it used to be. You know what? When you think about HBO and boxing, that's what I, you know, that's what I remember.
Right.
You think about
right.
the heavyweights. You think about the welterweights. Maybe a lightweight championship fight. But, you know, it's like there's so many belts out there. There's so many so-called champions. And we talk about the heavyweight division. I mean, really, Tyson Fury is your champion?
Very interesting.
Man. You know, but Showtime. Boxing no more after this year.
I'm hoping that ABC picks it back up. It used to be great when the Wild World of Sports came on Sundays or Saturdays, and
oh,
you could
man,
watch
it was
the fights then.
It was great watching that as a kid. You know, just something to look forward to. Wild World of Sports was something to look forward to every Saturday afternoon on ABC.
Yes, it was.
But you know, with all the streaming channels and all the cable channels, you know, ABC kind of went away with it. And you know, ABC is kind of like a sister station with ESPN.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of hard to even imagine ABC picking that back up again.
Right, right.
So we're going to move on to football. And before I get to the NFL, I want to talk about the XFL and the USFL. The merger, they're talking about it. They're trying to make it happen. It looks like they're going to make it happen. And if it does happen, and when it happens, not if, but when it does happen, they're going to rebrand themselves possibly as the UFL. United Football League.
Wow.
And guess what, Brother B?
What's that?
This could possibly be a developmental league for the NFL. And remember I told you last year or earlier this year, with the USL and the XFL playing, you know, there's a lot of players going to the NFL from both leagues, and maybe the NFL may pump some money into that league, both of those leagues, to get some of those players and make it a developmental league. Well, it looks like if those two merge, no, not if, when those two merge, then you know you got the United Football League, which is a spring league, which will be a spring league, and the NFL will be looking at a lot of those players, which is what they have done, and they'll be picking some of those players from, let's just say, the United Football League. And if they do that, and if it is a developmental league for the NFL, I'm pretty sure the NFL will be pumping some money into the United Football League.
The only problem that I have with that is that I wanted to have a league rival the NFL. That's what I wanted. If the NFL is pumping money into the UFL, then they are safe from any competition. And you know what I'm saying? And I wanted the UFL, the USFL, the XFL, I wanted those guys to rival the NFL. That's what I wanted.
Well, Brother B, there was a time way back in the early 60s, or I should say the mid-60s, and even the late 60s, when there was a league that tried to challenge the NFL. The NFL is a multi-million dollar machine, and it wasn't a multi-billion dollar machine, and it wasn't even like that back then, and they gobbled up the AFL, who was trying to rival them.
Yeah,
I don't see any organization in my lifetime gobbling up the NFL or rivaling them. They will find a way to say, nope, you're not going to do it. You're going to become part of us.
Yeah, I hate it, though.
Yeah, you know, it's a sad thing, but it's a machine. You know, a lot of times I don't even look at the NFL as a sport anymore. Look at it as just a big, major business.
It is. It's exactly what it is.
So, speaking of the NFL, let's get right on to it.
Yes, let's.
First of all, let's talk about my Thursday night record is 6-2 as those Buffalo Wild Wing Bills took care of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
But you know what, dog? That's great. But that's not what I want to talk about. You know what I want to talk about.
But we'll get to that.
No. Because if the Ravens had lost, they would be the first things out of your mouth. So I'm going
to
give
I was getting ready to talk about that.
Yeah,
Ravens,
look, man, you didn't have me on the hook for a minute. I've been patiently waiting.
Because you know what? You know what? The Ravens are far down on this list of games. But you know what? Since you so much want to talk about the Ravens, which aren't slated to play until 4:25 this afternoon, we're going to talk about the Ravens first. Let me tell you. You know how I like those pesky Lions.
Yes, I do.
I don't know what team showed up in the Baltimore last week because the Ravens look, you know, the Ravens look damn good. I'm going to give them the props.
Thank you.
That's the team with the talent that they have. I expected to show up. That's the team I've been looking for all year long. And I told you before the season started, with them getting, you know, Lamar signed, bringing in Odell Beckham, getting Zay Flowers, I expected them to do good things. I said that. If you go to the archives of your show, and you know I'm one of the biggest Raven haters out there. Yeah, I said it. I'm a Raven hater. But I always give them their props. And I said, I expect Baltimore to do big things.
First of all, you never give them their props. You call them bum birds every single week. And every time they play in a lackadaisical way or in a way that you don't think they should play, you give them the blues.
I give them the blues, and I'm gonna tell you why I give them the blues. Because there's too much talent on that team for them to be playing mediocre ball. I expect great things out of those Ravens. I don't like them, but I see the talent. You know, the talent is there. Come to be. That's the way that team should be playing. I shouldn't be calling them bum birds, and I do call them bum birds because they play down to the competition.
Well,
how do you let the Colts come in there with porn star, you know, I mean, the 70s porn star mustache guard that makes you beat you? They should have beat down the Colts the way they beat down the Lions. The Lions are a much better team than the Colts. And I was highly disappointed to watch their performance by the Ravens.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I call them bum birds. Don't get me started on those bum birds.
No.
I'm trying to give them their props. They looked good last week. And since you want to talk about the Ravens, and because there's a bunch of birds playing, they're playing those red birds, and they travel out to the desert, I'm picking the Ravens over the Cardinals.
Okay. You coming to your senses. You coming over. I appreciate that.
So now let's go back up to the 1 o'clock slate. Since you rudely interrupted
Hold on. I'm going to rudely interrupt you one more time. And that's I'm going to beat up on your San Francisco Golden Gate 49ers because they were bum 49ers.
You know what? They are also on the 4 o'clock slate. But you know what? I'll talk about them when I get down there. So let's talk about this 1 o'clock slate first.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, bro.
A team that I despise. A team that I've been despising since way back in 1971. And that's a long time, Brother B. I'm talking about them boys from Dallas. They host the Los Angeles Rams. Well, I was kind of disappointed because they let Pittsburgh come in there and beat them in their home last week.
Yeah, they did.
And that was a shocker to me. Well, yeah. I just have no faith in the Rams. I should call them Lambs. And I really hate them boys. But I'm picking them boys over the Rams. Give me Dallas over the Los Angeles Rams.
Ooh. Okay.
Next up, a division rivalry playing, and I like this one. Captain Kirk Cousins and those Minnesota Vikings go to Green Bay. Now, he may have had a career game, I mean, he may have played the best he's ever played in his life on Monday night when they beat those guys from the Golden Gate City. I'm telling you, he looked so good. I was like, man, where's this been? Will it carry over to this week, today? Hopefully it will, because I'm picking the Minnesota Vikings over the Green Bay Packers.
I got you on that, and I agree with you.
Now, this is a tough one because, you know, I call this guy the Riddler, and he finds ways to win. And he's a big question mark. Nobody can figure out the Riddler and the Atlanta Falcons, those dirty birds. And they travel to Tennessee. And the rumor has it that Tennessee is going to be breaking that team up. It's a possibility that Derrick Henry may be going to Dallas, Philly. Yeah, it's out there. They're trading players. It's like it's a festival out there. They're hosting the dirty birds from the ATL. Well, you know what? If Derrick Henry's going to be traded, he's going to fall out today. And I'm looking for the Titans to beat the Falcons.
Okay. All right.
And here's another team that I'm just, I don't know what to make of them. It's New Orleans Saints. They travel to Indianapolis to see the Colts. I don't know what to make of the Colts. They had the Browns. They let them off the hook, you know. But I kind of like them a little better today than I like the Saints. Next up, we're going to talk about those fish down in South Beach as they host the New England Patriots. This is a no-brainer for me. It seems that even when Brady was playing, the Dolphins had the Patriots number whenever they played Miami.
Yeah, they did.
So this is a no-brainer to me. And I'm thinking that this might be a bounce-back game for them because of the poor. I'm not going to say poor showing, but it's like they didn't do as well as I thought they were going to do with Philadelphia. Last weekend. So I'm looking for the Dolphins, big bounce back game, and just pummel the Patriots.
Yeah, but you said something last week that I thought was very profound. You said that you didn't think that that Hurts was going to let Tua beat him because of the personal thing that happened at Alabama. You called, you did say that Philly was going to beat him just because you didn't think Hurts was going to let that happen.
Yeah, well, I don't think the Patriots are going to beat the Dolphins. How about that one?
Next up,
the Battle of New York. I'm sorry, the Battle of New Jersey, as they both play in the same stadium. I'm talking about those Jets, and the Giants. I don't want to call both of them New York so bad, but they both play in Jersey, but I can't really call them Jersey. So who's really at home? Well, this is a home game for the Giants, even though the Jets play there, too.
That's weird.
That's the weirdest thing, but I like this matchup because you have a lot of people who live in, you know, northern Jersey who are big Jets fans, and you have a lot of people who are in New York who are Giants fans, and to see the two of them in the same stadium is going to be amazing. So, you know what? I'm kind of liking Tyrod Taylor with the Giants right now.
He looks good. He looks good. He's finally getting his chance, and he should always have had it.
And Danny Dimes will not be playing again, so I kind of like the Giants' chances. Give me the Giants over the Jets.
I wonder what they do for season ticket holders in that stadium.
That's a very good question, Brother B. And you know what? I'm going to look into that and find out what's the real answer behind that question.
Yeah.
Now, I had a hard time with this one because of who these two teams are. And Jacksonville will be going to Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh has just been winning ugly. I just don't get how they right there, you know, and I really don't. They really don't have anyone outside of T.J. Watt. If you look at that team, what do they really have?
No, you're right. You're right.
They don't. So, you
know, a hell of a coach.
Jacksonville, but you know what? And I think that's what it is. I think it's the coaching that's getting them over the hump. But I kind of like Jacksonville. I really want to take Pittsburgh so bad because I have a feeling with Jacksonville going into Pittsburgh, that's you know, Pittsburgh home field advantage, they've been winning. The line is only 2.5 for those that go by the point spreads. And Jacksonville's a 2.5-point favorite, and everything's looking good for them. But do I really believe in Jacksonville? Yes, I do. I look for them to go into the Steel City and beat the Steelers.
Okay, all right.
Now, here's one that I like it. It's a big rivalry. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of division rivalries this weekend. It really is. And here's another one. Philadelphia, coming off of that big win over the Dolphins, go to see their division rival, the Commanders. And you know what happened last time these two played? They always play each other tough.
It was a great game.
You know, it's a great game. It goes into overtime. Everybody's looking for Philly to give them a real big beatdown. I just don't know about that, Brother B. I think Philly's riding high off that big one off the Dolphins, and I think it might be a little setback here. Give me the Commanders over the Eagles.
Oh, okay.
That might be the upset special.
Okay, okay.
In the last game on the 1 o'clock slate, you got your number one pick against your number two pick. And I'm talking about Houston with C.J. Stroud going to see Carolina against Bryce Young.
Okay.
And then on paper here, I have Carolina. I just don't know why. I don't know what I was thinking about when I did this pick, but I'm kind of leaning towards Houston. This is a toss-up game for me, 1 versus 2. Who would you like, Brother B?
I got Carolina.
But you know what? That's what I'm going with also. Give me the Panthers over the Texans.
Okay.
Now we're going to move on to the 4 o'clock, 425 slate, and you got those crusty Browns who I cannot stand. You know, I do not like them for several reasons. Your show is not long enough for me. My portion of your show is not long enough for me to even go into why I do not like this team. They right. travel out to Seattle to see those sea chickens, who I also do not like. But I like Geno Smith a whole lot better than I like P.J. Walker. Give me the Seahawks over the Browns. Next up, this might be an upset, but I doubt it very seriously. This should be a walk in the park for KC, the Kansas City Chiefs, as they go to Denver. And give me the Chiefs over the Broncos.
Okay.
I've already talked about your Ravens over the Cardinals.
Yes, you have.
Now we're going to go to the last game on the 4 o'clock slate, the afternoon slate, and that's the Cincinnati Striped Bengals going to see the Golden Gate guys, the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I don't know what's going on with that team, because ever since they played that game, that Sunday night game, where they beat Dallas down, I mean, they pummeled them. They look like bums. I said it. That's my team. I like them, but they look like a bunch of bums to me. You go into Cleveland with Brownie the Elf, and you stink up the joint. You go into Minnesota with Captain Kirk, and you make him look like a world beater. They look like a bunch of bums. But they're my bums. I like them. I like them better than the Bengals. So give me the 49ers over Cincinnati.
Okay.
All right. tonight, the Chargers will be hosting the Chicago Bears. I like the little young quarterback that the Bears have, seeing that Justin Fields is out, but I don't think he's going to be able to handle what's going on out in L.A. Give me the Chargers over the Bears. And tomorrow night, bounce back game for those pesky guys that look like they must have left everything in Detroit last week.
Okay.
But this is a Monday night game that hasn't been in Detroit in a very long time. And they host those Vegas Raiders that are just in disarray. I mean, they're talking about firing the coach already. Josh McDaniels was a very good offensive coordinator. But as a head coach, he stinks. He's horrible. To me, this is a no-brainer. The pesky Lions get up off the deck, and they put a beat down on the Vegas Raiders.
Okay.
Give me the Lions over the Raiders. This Thursday night, I'm looking for my record to go to 7-2 as I'm picking the Steelers over the Titans. And the reason why I'm saying it because I think the Titan team will not be the same team, because a lot of fans will just be gone from that Titan team. Give me the Steelers next Thursday night over the Titans.
Okay. All right. Got you.
And on that note, Brother B, I am out of here. Keep on doing what you're doing. Love the show. Peace.
Peace, brother. Thank you, sir. Out. As always, a lot of fun talking to the Petty. Glad he was here today. And listen, I'm glad that you were here today. The hour has gone by so fast. In fact, the hour and a few minutes have ticked off, so I'm a little bit behind again. But it's okay. We tackled some tough topics today. Hope that you enjoyed the show, and I will see you next week. Remember, hit me up on IG. Add on with Brian Pettaway. Tell me what you think of the show. Give me your feedback. It always helps me. It has truly helped this show to grow. And I love all of the feedback that I get from you guys. I read it all. And I thank you so much for sending it. And also, if you've missed this show or any of the other shows, you can always go to my website, voiceswired.com. All of my shows are there chronicled from newest to oldest. Just hit the Let's Talk tab. So if you want to hear the show again, if you've missed any portions of it, or you want someone else to hear it, just send them to that website. I enjoy you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And listen, like I say every Sunday, relax today. Do nothing. Watch a few of the games. Chill, relax, do nothing. But the best thing about doing nothing is you can quit whenever you want. So wake up tomorrow morning ready to conquer the world, being the best you that you can possibly be. And I will see you next week right here on the same station, 1500radio.com, Baltimore's authentic multimedia experience. Have a great week, people. I'll talk with you next Sunday. Peace.